Alrighty, thank y'all for coming this morning. Prayer class, we're learning how to pray. We're learning from Psalms 91. We're in chapter 6 today. I hope to finish this chapter. And let me tell you what page we're going to start on. We're on page 89. You know, typically what we do is we're just taking it and reading it as we go along and discussing it some. I actually have a couple of handouts for you today that goes along with this that I think will give you, add more to what we have here. But this is the scripture verse, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. And boy, in this chapter, he really addresses fear. Of course, it's what he addresses in the whole book. Because, you know, that's what Psalms 91, when we pray that, we're learning to live a fearless life. We're praying that we will live a life without fear. We've addressed fear. These weeks that we've been together, we've talked about different fears and different things that we deal with. And this book, this chapter, this section that we're doing is talking about applying the written word. And on page 89 of... I want to read you, let's just start at the top of the page, and really what he's helping us to understand is how the things that we hear and the things that we see can affect us and bring fear, you know, into our lives. He said, maybe you know of an acquaintance who was killed in a fatal accident. Now you're fearful that the same thing might happen to you. My friend, the enemy has shot you with a fiery dart. Previously in the chapter, he talks about we're in a war, and the enemy shoots at us with thoughts. That's where the battle's at, right? You win it in your mind, you're going to win it in every area of your life. We do not know what the other person believed. We can only be responsible for our own beliefs and lives. Perhaps your relatives or family members have died from the same illness, and the enemy is now attacking you with thoughts that you'll also develop diabetes like your father and uncle did, or die from the same heart condition they had. See, here again, it's thoughts. Thoughts that the enemy wants to bring. And he goes on to say, you're putting up a shield of faith and releasing power as you declare that your God shall deliver you from every deadly disease. My friend, if you have been entertaining thoughts like these, and I want to just stop right there, I want to talk about the word entertain. I looked up the definition of entertain, and do you know entertain, one part of the definition of entertain is to admit into the mind. To admit into the mind, to let it come into your mind. You know, let me find this, I believe it's Brother Hagin, he's quoting here. He said, it's true that you can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can surely stop them from building a nest in your head. We've all heard that. You know, the thoughts come, but our part is not entertaining them. And we're going to learn how important the Word of God is. And this is things we know. Thank God we've been taught this for years here. But what you know and what you do are two different things. And I think for me, I may be on top of this a little bit more at times than I am at other times. It's a keeping on, keeping on. I shared a thought with you that Joyce Meyer says, she suggests that you listen at least one time a year, messages on the mind, because that is where the battle's at. It also means to entertain, also means to consider, to hold in the mind, to harbor or to cherish. So he's saying, my friend, if you've been entertaining thoughts like these, now, and I circle that, is the time to rise up and make this declaration. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. I want to talk about declaration for just a second. He said, this needs to be your declaration. If you've been in this class any length of time, we've talked about declarations. Decreeing and declaring. I want to read you a quote. This is from Brother Jerry. Well, first of all, Job 22:28. If you want to go to that, you can, or I can just, you can just listen to me read this. But Job 22:28 says, "You shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways." So this is saying here, we have the opportunity. We can decide and we can decree a thing. We have that authority in the earth to do that. And this is what Brother Jerry says. When you decree something, it gives God a legal right to do it and confirm it with signs following. When you decree something, you're giving God the legal right to do it, especially when it's His word. And I know this scripture here, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. I tell you how my thoughts have changed about this. And it'll not come near me. When I would read that, I would think about like this. The shooting that happened in Las Vegas, wasn't it? Where they were at that big concert. And, you know, people, I mean, they were just falling. I think that was the mental attitude I'd had, that I would have to be in that kind of a situation for this to apply to me. But as I've studied it more and I've listened to what he says about it, it's just being in the world. I mean, there are people that are falling at your side, 1,000. I mean, from disease, cancer,
right.
Alzheimer's, mm-hmm. You know, sickness, disease. And then you can take it over into the financial realm. You have a stock market crash. You know, there would be, I mean, people die from that kind of situation. Men's heart will fail them. You know, the word talks about that. And so it's in any arena of life. And then Brother Gene gave a testimony for David Tuggle. I remember David Tuggle. A lot of people were being let go on his job. And it was coming really near, close to him. And he worked for AT&T, I believe it was. Well, I thought it was interesting. They took this scripture verse. You know, 1,000 may fall at David's side, 10,000 at his right hand. You know, 1,000 may be laid off here, 10,000 here, or whatever. It's kind of a figure of speech in a way. You know what I'm saying? But it'll not come near me. Well, you know what? The layoffs did not come near him. They stood on this word. He finished out his years at AT&T, and we were visiting with our son Tony and Amy this past weekend, and man and his company, they've been cutting right and left, and just, I mean, people that's been there anyway, you know, anyway, we told them, we're praying this for you. 1,000 may fall, one side, 10,000 on the other side, but it's not come near you. And I said, we're believing this for you. I said, if it worked for David Tuggle, I said, it'll work for you, the word of God, you know. But, you know, it's decreeing and declaring it. So we have the right to decree and declare this in our life in general, just the world itself. If there's 1,000 falling over here and 10,000 over here, you know, at this side, it'll not come near me or my family. But there's that declaration part. The definition for decree is to make an official order or a decision. You decree and declare. You decree and declare what you want in your life. Well, you let the enemy do that sometime. And sometimes we find ourselves decreeing and declaring things just because we've heard it. We've read it. We've seen it. It's the tactic of the enemy to do that. It says, for something to happen at your right hand means that it has to be really close to you. You know, you could take that for your family. Any of us that have children, grandchildren, you know, we know the threat of the world itself out there for children. We can use this in that arena. You know, it'll not come near my family. This means that even if something unfortunate happens to someone close to you, do not allow fear to hold you in its paralyzing grip. Speak forth the written word of God. Let's go on, speaking the word. Beloved, it's not enough for you to merely know the word in your heart. You must say it. That's when, Latin? Okay. Power becomes actual power. Latin, did the definition for that one. It means the power is present, but it's not visible. It's hidden or it's dormant. Now this is, like in this little part here, I said, I knew this, but I think, you know, some revelation came about it. You know, there's such power in every word in the Bible, but if it just stays there, the power is, it's not working. And so we're going to look at releasing that power. When our Lord Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he did not merely think about Scripture, he spoke it out loud. You can memorize thousands of Scriptures, but if you don't learn to say it is written and release the word, there will be no power. Selah. God's power is there, but it is all lying dormant inside you. The moment you speak it out, it is as if God is speaking. God's word in your mouth is like God speaking. Am I the only one in the room that has a battle with doing that? When all the circumstances are saying blah, 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 and you've got the word over here, and you've got circumstances over here, and you know you have scriptures that you've either memorized that you have, but then, you know, and if not, then you find a scripture that fits that situation. But it's a real battle at times because your feelings get involved in what you're seeing and what you're hearing. But if I don't open up my mouth, I don't have the power of the Word of God available to me, and it's not available in that situation. And it allows fear to work in that situation maybe that I'm looking at. And I put this just in my own words. The Word of God really does not help me if I don't speak it out of my mouth. You know, Joyce Meyer's got a book. It says, what does it say? Your answer is right beneath your nose. I believe that's why it's something like, and it's all about your mouth and speaking the word of God. Fear is not something you can reason or analyze away. Fear is irrational. There are some fears that come into your life and you can think to yourself, come on, what are the chances of that happening? Or it's so silly to fear this. But have you noticed that those fears still hang around? You know, full-blown fear in your life doesn't come with just one thought. It's a process. And this right here, we are in a war. I think we need a revelation of that. We are in a battle. We are in a war. You know, we're not fighting against each other. We're not fighting against other people or whatever. But we are in a war. You know, is it 365 scriptures in the Bible about fear? I believe it's 365. Because I've heard somebody say, it's one for every day. Because fear is the opposite of faith. God wants us in faith. The devil wants us in fear. One way to take us out of fear, as we're learning, and to be in faith, is to speak the word of God. We're in a war, my friend, and the only way to defeat fear is to speak the word of God to whatever fear you have by saying, it is written. It is written, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. He says, I want you to memorize that. It's a powerful verse of Scripture. Now I want you to say it out loud with me. It is written, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, a love, and a sound mind. Do you feel that power that comes with saying this aloud? Well, and this is the truth. This is the truth. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I don't care what kind of fears you're battling with. Fear of growing old, fear of contracting this or that disease, fear of losing your job, fear of failure, whatever the fear that has come against you, declare, it is written.
Wanda.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, this verse comes to mind because the lady that I sit with every week, that verse is plastered all through Miss Rita's house.
Really?
On little cards, whether it be in the bathroom or the kitchen door.
That's wonderful.
Or wherever, because, you know, not only is the fear of dementia there with her, but I think it's also, there's been that with Roger and myself. And so it is so refreshing because no matter where we go in the house, we see that verse.
Wow.
Regardless. I mean, it can be, like I said, in the bathroom. On the bathroom mirror, on the closet mirror, whatever.
Okay, and that's wonderful, and that's a real key to doing this, but let's take it a step further. When you're standing there in the bathroom, you speak it. You don't just read it. See, that's the thing. That's the key that we're having to learn here. That's the real weapon. The Word of God is a weapon against the tactics of the enemy. Because when you said that, I thought, man, that's great. That'd be great to walk through the house and read that. And then it was like, no, you walk through the house and you speak it.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Thank you. So what do? The areas that we deal with fear, you know, and start with that scripture. And then you can, you know, let the Holy Ghost get you more specific in some areas or whatever. But it's decreeing it, declaring it that brings possession of it into your life. We have kept our mouth shut, and I make this as a general statement, y'all understand that. We have kept our mouth shut too long. I think we've been taught so much about not having a negative confession. I know for me, it's like not having a negative confession. So, you know, I've learned to be pretty good about that. You know, I'm never 100%. But you know where it's been lacking is, I'm not saying, you know, the thought or, you know, or I'm scared to death or whatever. You know, I've learned to do that. But I mean, man, I've been weak in this. I haven't been tenacious about it. I haven't seen it as a weapon. This is a weapon. When the enemy fires, when you've been shot at, you know, you don't lay there and bleed out. You stand up, you get up your weapon, and say, okay, devil, it's written. I tell you, I think, you know, part of the awakening that I believe that's coming to the earth, that everybody's talking about and we've prayed for years, I really believe part of the awakening that's coming to the earth is that we're going to, part of it is the body of Christ has got to wake up and realize we're in a battle, we're in a war, we've been given everything we need to win. We're already victors, but we got to wake up to that. Because it's obvious we're not awake to that because of things that are going on in our world, in our town, in our city, in our life. Our life, where did that come from? Talking about my little granddaughter here from Tennessee. But you see what we're saying? I mean,
in our bodies.
In our bodies.
What's going on in our bodies, and are we speaking to it?
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to receive that. I'm not going to receive that pain in my finger or my joints.
Yes,
I'm not
receiving that.
No.
No, it is written.
It's written.
It is written. It is written. It is written. I don't know. I mean, I think for me, I just need a real revelation of that. You know, I'm not being one, you know, I don't like to, you know, major on the enemy. But you know what? To win the war, you got to know your enemy. Anybody, you've been in the service. Bob, you know what it's like. You don't go against your enemy until you've got a strategy and you know your enemy. Because if you go in and you don't know him, well, anyway, the battle's over before you even get to it. But that's great. You know what? I'm going to put some scriptures up in my house. I have a few, but I'm going to put more. But I'm going to I think I'm going to put some on my door, before my sliding glass doors, before I go out the door.
That's where one of them is. As you're going out the door, that verse is right there.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm going to say it. Because you know what else is happening? You're using it as a tool against the accusations of the enemy, but you know, you're building faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I've heard, and I'm pretty sure it's Mark Hankins that has said this. I've quoted this before, and I haven't been able to find it, but I remember reading, I have several of his books, but anyway, he says that the most important person that you can hear to build faith in you is yourself. You know, we think, well, we're listening to Brother Copeland, we're listening to Jerry Savelle, or we're listening to Joseph Prince, we're building up our faith. But really, if we just open up our mouth and listen to ourselves.
You know, God spoke the world into existence.
Yeah.
And think it into existence.
That's right.
That's right.
And so what are we speaking into existence?
Example.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is. That's a perfect example, Jan. So what are we speaking into existence?
See, I know that when I go to work, I can create my atmosphere before people get there by speaking. And yeah. Even though I know that, and I've done it, and it works, sometimes I don't do it.
Yeah.
And then I have a rotten day, or I have crazy people coming in, one right after the other.
And they're bringing their baggage in with them. Yes.
Do you know that there are times that I can't even, it's like I can't breathe?
Wow.
They bring stuff in there. They do.
Yeah.
And when you've got three people working with all these different people coming in and it's a small space, it's important that I say those things.
Yeah. That's a great point.
But even though I know that, there are times that I don't do it.
Yeah.
And it is the enemy.
Yeah.
Just bombarding us so that we don't speak it because he knows. If we speak it, it's done.
Yeah. But you speak it in that situation because you're a believer, you know, and you have authority over anybody that's walking in that's got any kind of spirit on them. And that, you know, and that, here again, it's where we're praying the Ephesians 1 prayer for spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him that gives us understanding of our calling, our inheritance, and the authority that we have. And that's where the body of Christ is. I know we have to be moving in that direction. And I believe that we are. Because we, you know, you have that authority and you set the atmosphere with your words. Because they sure can set the atmosphere with their words.
They can and they will.
Yeah. Well, they don't know
they
any different.
They don't even know they're doing it.
No.
Right.
No.
They come through the door doing it.
Yeah.
If I don't have that shield up.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a great point. Great. Great, great. That's good. All right. Let's... whatever the fear that has come against you, declare it is written. What if the fear comes back? Then say it again. Sometimes I speak scriptures over my situation in the morning, the afternoon, and the evening. Look at that. That is a tenacity. Whenever the fear comes back, I speak the word of God. If the devil wants to fight, give him one. God, help us get to that place.
Yes. Yes.
If the devil wants a fight, give him one. Give him the sword of the Spirit, and he will get the point every time. There are many scriptures you can memorize. Write down the scripture that covers the area of your need and arm yourself with them. And when you were sharing that about Fred and Clay's house, you know, I could see you arm yourself, you put the scriptures wherever, or, you know, if it's at work or wherever you can do that. It's not everywhere you can put scriptures. But, you know, in your car or whatever, to deal with, you know, we all got different areas in this room where we're more open to fear or whatever. So we do that. Let me share with you how Megan, a precious lady from Minnesota, did exactly this and saw the power of God released in her situation. I usually don't read these, but this one is so good. I'm going to read this one. She said, I was diagnosed with throat and neck cancer. After a series of treatments, I recovered, and tests showed that there was no more cancer. However, 2 years later, the doctor found a mass in my throat again. At that time, I'd begun watching Joseph Prince on television. He shared a testimony of a woman who had taken hold of 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world, for herself, and ended up not needing to have any surgery. So I took hold of this scripture for myself as well. My first thought after hearing the doctor's diagnosis was, as Jesus is, so am I in this world. Since he doesn't have cancer, then neither do I. That's pretty profound, isn't it? Fear tried to enter my thoughts over the next several days, but I believed and kept declaring. 1 John 4:17, as I was being told that I might have cancer again. There's the key. Believing and declaring, they go hand in hand. You believe, you declare, declaring helps you believe. It just, anyway. I was advised to have a biopsy done and was also told that a bilateral tonsillectomy, anyway, a procedure to remove the tonsils would be needed. As I was being prepared for surgery, I was asked if there was anything I wanted to say. I said, yes. When the doctor comes in to do the surgery, she'll say that the surgery is not needed and there's no cancer. And that was exactly what happened. The tonsillectomy was canceled because the biopsy showed that I did not have cancer. When told the good news, I smiled and said, thank you, Jesus. And she said that she has the 100 days of favor, which has a page teaching on 1 John 4:17. And I made a copy of that. I got that for you. You can take it home with you today. I thought you might want to read what he teaches on that. She said, I'm continually being set free by the gospel of grace. Thank you, Pastor Prince. Now, I want to read this next story. This is the most astounding thing. Oh, Jesus. It's a story about the power of the written word. Some years ago, I went to Israel with my pastors, and we were introduced to a Jewish believer who became our guide. This man who believes that Jesus is the Messiah shared an incredible testimony with us. He had served as a paratrooper in the Israel Defense Forces during the Fourth Arab-Israeli War in 1973. He told us how Israel had been taken by surprise when Egyptian and Syrian forces launched a coordinated attack against Israel on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the holiest day in the Jewish calendar. Israel's enemies were able to sweep in and take over large swaths of territory before Israel even realized they were under attack. This is because many of their soldiers were away from their posts observing the Day of Atonement. That was smart, wasn't it? Once they became aware of the attack, our guide was activated to enter enemy ground together with his platoon. In that platoon, there were five soldiers who had made fun of him for his beliefs and who had persecuted him before the war. They told them that he had betrayed his own people and was no longer fit to be called a Jew because he had accepted Jesus Christ as Messiah. In response, he had told them if his God were not real, they would see him die. But if Jesus were Lord, he told them, with your eyes you will see wondrous things happening to him right before them. The guide described how, during the war, they had entered a forested area. Without warning, they heard general-purpose machine gun shots being fired all around. They were well and truly ambushed. The platoon commander in front of him was the first to get hit. He was shot in the head and dropped straight to the ground. As the second in command, our guide took over immediately. As he fired a volley of shots, he shouted for some of his men to shoot toward his left and called for another group of them to aim behind some rocks in another direction, but he heard no response from the men at all. When he turned to look for them, he realized that no one was there. Now, would that not be an opportunity for fear to come into your life if it wasn't even already there? All his men had dived into a trench, and he was the only one standing in the open. He walked over and he peered into the trench. Can you see that? All of this going on. One of the men motioned for him to jump into the hole with them, screaming, come on, you'll die, you'll die. Our guide did not heed their cries. Instead, he yelled, get out and fight, get out here and fight. As he stood there, he suddenly became aware of the bullets flying all around him. So many whizzing past and around him that they sounded like bees buzzing around his head. His platoon mates, including the five that had constantly teased him, stared up at him in awe. Then he realized what was happening to him. In the midst of heavy gunfire, the Lord was protecting him. He was standing exposed in the open while they were hiding in that trench, trembling in fear. With gunfire pounding the surrounding trees, leaves started falling all around him. but not a single bullet touched him. He looked down and he shouted at them, "With your eyes, you see. Now, do you believe?" Not a single bullet touched him. Isn't that amazing? Our guide told us that he had grown up in a small church. On the pulpit at the front of the sanctuary was a plaque that he always looked at as a child when he got bored with the sermon he was hearing. He kept on reading those words until they entered his spirit and he believed. Do you want to know what those words were? 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Isn't that tremendous? There's a lot of keys there. I mean, first of all, he would read that over and over as a child. It entered his spirit. It became rhema to him. It became a revelation. And I mean, that's how the word works. We just don't give the word. I'll just speak from personal. I don't know what you all do. I just don't give the word enough opportunity by speaking it, reading it, speaking it, you know. He grew up believing that regardless of who fell around it, him, it would never happen to him. In fact, as the bullets tore past him, he shared with us that he did not fear even for a moment that any of the bullets would hit him. The supernatural power of the Word of God. In contrast, he told us about a friend in the army who had gone to the Israeli Military Academy together with him. During the war, his friend told him this, "I've got a feeling that I won't make it through this war. I just feel like I'm going to die in this war." Although our guide told him not to say such things, his friend continued. He believed he would die in the war as much as our guide believed that he would not. Sadly, this friend was indeed killed during the war. The devil is known as the accuser of our brethren. He will always try to keep you self-occupied in fear. God wants you Christ-occupied in faith. That's a real key there. Yeah. He wants you to keep all involved up into yourself, your situation. Bring cares and concerns. Accuse you, you know, he'll accuse you and he'll accuse people to you. Man, we need a revelation of this, that he is accuser of the brethren. He never has anything good to say. And you know what? And I've heard Joseph Print teach this. He'll make your thoughts sound like they're from you. He'll make it sound personal, like, you know, I'm not any good. When actually he's accusing you of not being any good. But you take it and you personalize it. You might have a friend of the same age who perhaps died suddenly from an illness, even though he or she had seemed healthier than you. The devil will try to plant fear in your heart that you're next. By now you know what to do. Take up your shield of faith and declare, "It is written, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you." Whatever it may be, cancer, disease, accidents, terrorist attacks, it shall not come near you. I'm telling you, I think we've studied several scripture verses here, but I believe this one has had the most profound effect. Because I see it, that it fits every area of my life. And it needs to be a daily declaration, you know, out of my mouth for me and my family. He said, when you board a plane, that plane has no choice but to land safely because you are on board. When you're in a... Go ahead, Bob.
No, I just want to, with that thought about getting on an airplane, there's a man of God that I used to hear him say, you know, when I get on that plane, it's going to, you know, it's always going to reach its destination. It's safe.
Yeah.
And the way he made it sound was that just because he was on there,
oh, okay,
everything was going to be all right. Like,
yeah.
That he was. Well.
I know what you're trying to say.
Well. Anyway, when it's the way it came out, it sounded pretty arrogant.
Arrogant, yes.
And it bothered me when I heard him say it. But then I thought about it. And I never talked to him about it because I knew this person, and to kind of get where they were coming from. But in the light of all that we've been reading here, and studying here, was that the Lord showed me, he said, the reason he said that is because that's where his faith was.
Yes.
He wasn't saying, I'm just the golden child, and when I step on it, you know, it's anointed.
Yeah.
He was the golden child. declaring.
He was declaring.
He was, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
I'm not going to get on that plane. The Holy Spirit's not going to let me get on that plane unless it's safe.
Yeah.
So when I get on it, he's already cleared it.
Yeah.
And if it's not, he's going to let me know. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, that just put all that mess to rest, you know, that in my mind. Because, you know, when we speak faith, you know, to others around us who may not be there.
Yeah.
Who may not have that same revelation. It will sound bold. Mm-hmm. It could sound a little arrogant. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you have that revelation in your heart, yeah. What God told you, just like that lady there with the throat cancer.
Yeah.
You know.
That could have sounded arrogant.
It could. But the thing is, that was her rhema word.
Yeah.
But anyway, that just kind of stood out to me.
Yeah. That's a great point. Because the world can't, you know, can you imagine you say to somebody, as Jesus is, so am I in this earth? And people look at you like, okay, give me a break here now.
Yes, you're calling yourself Jesus. Right.
You're calling yourself Jesus. But it's your declaration. This is where the body of Christ has got to get bold.
Yeah.
We're too concerned about what people think,
yeah.
What they'll think about it. But, you know, that's what will draw people when they see the word working, what we're saying with our mouth, working in us. And, you know, taking care of things and whatever. It doesn't hurt to clarify, you know, bring, you know, Jesus into that too when I get on this plane. Well, I think about it this way. When we're out traveling on the road, because we're safe in our car, the cars around us are safe. Yeah, they're safe, you know, around us. And we need to stop. Y'all can read that last paragraph for yourself. Next Sunday we'll go to chapter 7, Dwell Safely in Christ, Your Refuge. I can't imagine. This just keeps getting better and better and better. I have two handouts for you. I have this one, if you want it, from As Jesus Is, So Are We in the Earth. This is Mark Hankins. He says, move your mouth and you'll move your mountain. And he talks about how important it is to... It just agrees with what we've learned today. So thank you all very much.